With Chime's secure credit card, you can start improving your credit scores with everyday purchases and regular on-time payments. Get started at chime.com/build.
The Chime Credit Builder Visa Credit Card is issued by Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. Members FDIC. Results may vary. See chime.com for details. Terms and conditions apply. Go to chime.com/disclosures for details.
And here we go.
All right, it is the home team. Brought to you by Athens Technical College. Your passion, your future elevated. Tyler Head and Jeff Dantzler along with you. 1 hour down, 2 more hours to go on this Tuesday afternoon. Getting to mention Brame hanging out in parts unknown, doing whatever Brame does. We don't ask questions.
There was there were some old wrestlers, guys who used to wear the masks. Mm-hmm. Mr. Wrestling number one, Mr. Wrestling number two, the assassin. Ran into the wrestler, the missing link. From parts unknown,
that's right.
Weight unknown. The missing link.
That's where the Ultimate Warrior was from.
Parts unknown.
That's right. I guess kind of the same effect. They always said The Undertaker was from Death Valley.
Awesome.
Which they're not talking about like California. They're just like Death Valley.
Death Valley, man. That's the hottest place in North America.
That's right. He's actually from Texas.
Oh, of course he is.
But, yeah, that's what they always build it as from.
Death Valley.
That sounded
cool.
The
Undertaker, that's one of those guys I could think, like, if you were a kid watching wrestling, like, he could be kind of scary.
Oh, scared the crap out of you.
Because the one for me, when I was a kid, the guy that I was kind of scared of was King Kong Bundy. He was like 400 and something pounds.
Just an enormous guy.
The guy looked like he would just eat you.
Yeah, right.
He was frightening.
The Undertaker had the aura around him, and he also, you know, he had these, like, supernatural powers to just appear out of nowhere. And,
right, or the thing when he'd come out of the coffin.
Right, possess people, that kind of stuff. When you're a kid, you're like, oh, my God, like, what is this?
Yeah.
You know, it scares you, for sure.
And
it's kind of fun. It's one of those things, because he made his debut at Survivor Series in 1990.
Okay.
And that was during when the WWE, or then WWF, was in their very cartoony phase of wrestling.
Okay.
Where every character was kind of an over-the-top exaggeration of something. So to have an undead zombie wrestling wasn't that far-fetched back in 1990, but as you kind of progressed through the 90s, you got into the Attitude Era, the Ruthless Aggression Era, into today's era, where things became a lot more based in reality, I guess. An undead guy wrestling that has supernatural powers is a little more far-fetched, but he was so good at changing his character with the times, he made it work.
And
that's why he's thought of as one of the best of all time, because he made that gimmick last through all these different eras.
Well, and we've talked about this too. Like, for me, I preferred the NWA better than the WWF. Where the NWA really... And part of it is good planning, and the other part of it is good fortune, as we've talked. Their two biggest stars were far and away their two biggest and best talkers.
Yes.
And Ric Flair and Dusty Rhodes.
Yes.
And then, you know, when they brought over the Road Warriors from the AEW, well, the Road Warrior was a famous movie back then.
Yes.
So there was a way. And then, I mean, to me, in the WWF, I mean, when you're talking about the height of the Cold War, coming off the Iran hostage crisis. To have the Iron Sheik and Nikolai Volkov together was genius.
That's right. It's called cheap heat, because you know everybody's going to hate it.
It's called what? Say again?
Cheap heat.
Cheap heat.
It's the easiest way to get people to boo you. If you're, you know, if we're at war with Iraq, this guy's from Iraq.
Right.
Everybody's going to hate him, of course.
So that would be like if we were doing Georgia Bulldogs championship wrestling, the enemy would come out wearing Tech, if there was a Tech Florida tag team.
Yeah, exactly. A couple years ago when, like, you know, the Putin stuff was in the news and stuff, you had a Russian wrestler, Rusev, who talked about Vladimir Putin all the time.
Okay.
Cheap heat. Easy to boo.
Cheap heat. I like that. By the way, Emily just texted me and said the Undertaker terrified her.
Okay. All right. So when would she have been watching wrestling?
Let's see. She is still 22 years old. I would guess... I mean, probably about, what year are we in now?
2020.
Probably late 90s.
Okay, so Attitude Era, that would be Ministry of Darkness Undertaker, which is by far the scariest, because not only did he have superhuman powers, he also abducted people. tied them to this giant crucifix, sacrifices, Jeez. A whole... If you go back on the WWE Network and watch that stuff, he ran the Ministry of Darkness until Vince McMahon revealed himself to be the leader, which didn't make any sense in the storyline. It was just
he was like Palpatine.
Exactly. But he went from that. He rebranded himself as a biker for a couple years.
Okay, I can see that.
And that actually kind of bridged the gap between two of his undead personas, which kind of made the character last longer. I could talk about this all day.
No, I hear you. Listen, but, when we talk pro wrestling, the needle moves.
I mean, everybody got into pro wrestling at some point in their life.
Of course.
I've run into very few people that if I mention something about wrestling, they say, I never got into it.
Well, I think, when you're a little, I mean, there was a while for me there. It was a couple of years when I was in middle school, like outside of Georgia football, college football. I mean, it was right there with the NBA. And I remember there was even at one point, I was disappointed the Braves were playing the Reds and it bumped wrestling. And I was like, oh man, I'd rather. And I'm like, wait, what's happened to me?
Well, we go back to what we were talking about earlier. You know, when you're a kid and you're 10 or 11 years old, you come home from school, you do your homework, eat dinner, you have the rest of the night to yourself. When I was a kid, I looked forward to Friday nights every single week because it meant I got to watch SmackDown. My bedtime was 9 o'clock, so I wasn't allowed to watch Raw on Monday nights.
Yeah, but so
on the weekends, I got 2 hours to watch wrestling on Friday nights. My parents never bought me the pay-per-views or anything like that, right. So I was waiting 5 days after the Sunday night event to find out what happened then. But that was what I looked forward to each and every week, was the 2 hours on Friday night to watch wrestling.
Yeah, there was one. The WWF did a deal, Raven, I remember what it was called. But they had, it was like once every 6 weeks, Saturday Night Live would take off.
Saturday Night's Main Event on NBC.
Yep. Okay. So, and like that's where you might see a title change hands or something.
I was going to say, because back then the weekday shows, which was WWE Superstars, were mainly squash matches and promos. And so you never saw much like actual substance wrestling on those. You had to wait for the pay-per-view and pay for it.
Like the one of the shows I really like, I guess Bremus said it was the forerunner to the Monday show you were talking about, but there used to be a Monday night show on the USA Network, and that was one with Gorilla Monsoon and Bobby the Brain Heenan and then Jesse Ventura.
Yeah.
And it would have a lot of the stars would go against I would call a jobber.
Squash matches.
Okay. And then there'd be one good match at the end.
Yeah, that's your main event. But for a two-hour show, you have three or four squash matches, you have a bunch of promos built in there, and then you have one good match that you're looking forward to the entire night.
Right.
That's how most of those shows were built back then.
Dave was once offered a bite of a hot dog by Jimmy the Boogie Woogie Man Valiant. I don't know if he's ever told you that story.
He has not. But that's where, when WCW came along in the 90s, that's kind of where they took off in their own way, because they focused a lot on the wrestling itself, and they gave it to you on regular television.
Right.
And that's why they were able to win a lot of the ratings wars.
That's good stuff. We could talk wrestling all day.
We got to jump into the old 5 at 5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution. I was looking over the stats from last season. I was getting ready for Georgia baseball this weekend, taking on Richmond first game Friday at 5 o'clock, which you can hear right here on the ref. Offensively, the only thing they lost out of their 8 regular starters were LJ Talley and John Cable. Got a lot of good guys that rotated in a lot.
Wait, say again now.
LJ Talley and John Cable.
Aaron Shunk was pretty darn good.
He's not back?
No.
He's not?
No.
Okay, I misread that one. All right, so we've lost three guys
then. They were seniors,
then.
Yeah. Okay. LJ and Cable
were
seniors. All
right, well, I mislabeled that then.
And Tucker Maxwell was gone, too.
Yes, so. Okay, so you've lost about half the guys then. I was looking at the wrong thing, I guess.
No, you're good. It's all good. All good.
Now, pitching, obviously, you've lost a good bit with Tim Elliott and Tony Losey.
But Zach Kristofak.
Yes. I'm just looking at the regular starters here, but you do have Emerson Hancock back.
Hancock's back, and I think he's the best in the country.
Now, last year, a lot of people felt this team was good enough to go to Omaha. If nothing else, at least get to the Super Regional. Obviously, for the second year in a row, they didn't make it out of the regional hosted here. What are expectations for the 2020 season, in your opinion?
Well, I think the expectations are really high again, but I'm just going to start with the end.
Uh-huh.
I think we might be better off being a 2 seed somewhere else.
Okay.
Because and we had never lost at home in a regional or a super. We were 7-7. And the one this past year, it's just Florida State was.
Yep. They were hot.
Out of Mike Martin's, that was the worst team he ever had.
Yeah.
It was the only team he had that didn't win 40 in the regular season.
Yep.
And it's just, good gosh. The year before, Duke had to beat us twice. That mm-hmm. was a bitter pill to swallow.
Yep.
That was a tough, tough one right there. So, now, I do think Georgia could win at home if we do get to host. The road SEC schedule is brutal. We got to go to A&M, Arkansas, Florida, and Vandy. Mm-hmm. And the other road trip's Missouri, which has a crummy stadium, and it's just hard travel. So I think, you know, having Hancock at the top is huge. He could be the number one pick in the draft.
Right.
Cole Wilcox projects high. Cole showed a lot of flashes last year, but the question is, can he be a guy now? Can he be go from prospect to star? I think he can.
Mm-hmm.
Is C.J. Smith going to be healthy? When Will Proctor comes back, how's he going to be? Can Ryan Webb be a mainstay in the bullpen? And then you got a lot of really good young arms that you're leaning on. But my biggest concern, Losey went 11-2. It was a rock in the rotation.
Mm-hmm.
Kristofak, we all know his hit list.
Yep.
I mean, the multiple wins over Tech, Alabama, Florida, Auburn, Tennessee, South Carolina.
Uh-huh.
It was really the stuff of legends. And then in Shunk, you're talking about your closer, your three-hole hitter, and your third baseman.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's college baseball. Guys move along. And Georgia's going to have some good players there, but those guys were worth a lot of wins. So what you hope happens is this team just puts itself in a position, and then in the end you just get hot at the right time.
Right.
I mean, I remember when we beat Auburn, we were way better than Auburn last year, but they had that feel. And Dave and I talked about it. It's like, you know, if they got in the right regional, the way their team is set up,
mm-hmm.
they can make a move. Because I think you'll agree with this. And certainly now the Braves run through the 90s was a little bit before your time. But baseball, I think, more so than football and basketball, the postseason and the regular season is just completely different. And that goes for college, too. The way the regular season set up, the Braves had all that phenomenal pitching. Their bullpen was shaky.
Yeah,
they had a hard time sometimes out-slugging teams. And it's great that they had a 5-deep rotation, but in the playoffs, you really only need two or three.
Right.
And, you know, so in college, it's somewhat similar to that, in that the regular season and postseason is just a different animal. So, listen, I hope Georgia can go 500 or better in the league, because I'm going to tell you what, Auburn went 14-16 in the league last year, made it the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
Mississippi State in 2013 went 15-15 and played for the national championship. I absolutely think we have the ability to do that, and I think we have the ability to make it to the College World Series. To give you a long-winded answer, I just wonder if we might be better. And I've talked to a couple of the guys who are like, no, we want to win it at home,
Yeah.
Ah, you young guys, we'd be better off going on there. So the guys want to be in a spot where we can win at home. But the whole key is going to be just putting yourself in a position and then getting hot at the right time. I mean, look at the year the Dodgers had.
Yeah.
And they were up 2-0 on the Nats.
Yep.
And then, Washington got hot.
Yep. So, and, you know, these past couple of years have been a nice resurgence, and obviously you had the hosting the regionals the past 2 years. If the same thing happens this year, you get bounced for a third straight time in the regional at home or away, whatever, do you feel like maybe a window's kind of closed a little bit?
Well, you're going to lose Hancock and Wilcox and Cam Shepard and Patrick Sullivan. You'd mm-hmm. have to hit the reset button some next year. Not to say you can't be good next year,
right.
But with this group that came in, the kids who were freshmen in 17,
uh-huh.
you know, we've lost some of them. Like guys, like we lost Shunk, Kristofak, and Losey.
Yep.
And now it would be that second wave of guys. So yeah, I think, you know. So is there a little bit more pressure? Yeah, but you know, some of that too. I think we all know this. I mean, once the game gets going, and yeah, pressure's big in baseball. But Tyler, you played. You know.
Yeah.
When the fastball's coming, when you're swinging, you don't have time to think about it as much then.
Right.
A little bit different than if you're on the free throw line.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So, I mean, listen, I think we got a chance to have a really, really good year. I'm excited about it. But the Dooley Munson and me, that SEC road schedule is a bear.
The natural pessimist inside of you.
The natural born pessimist.
Sticking on the topic of baseball, we kind of mentioned it at the beginning of last hour. Let's dive a little bit further into these proposed postseason changes that the MLB is trying out there. And I'll throw this out there with you too. The timing of this is interesting. because obviously pitchers and catchers report tomorrow, mm-hmm. which means teams will be available to the media a lot more, and as we start going through spring training, getting ready for the season, is there any chance the MLB threw this out there to divert some attention away from the sign-stealing Astros thing
sure.
that's been the headline the past couple weeks?
Hey, the NFL, Goodell's been a master at that.
Yeah.
And they've had so many scandals.
Because, you know...
Sure there is.
Because throwing this out there, and you know, you
that's
see...
That's a great point.
You see the backlash, everybody saying, oh, the MLB is so dumb, they're dumb, they're dumb, they're doing all this. Well, now you're focusing on rule changes. You're not talking about them upholding that World Series from a couple years ago that's rubbing people the wrong way because yeah. the Astros were clearly caught cheating with that. The baseball went upheld traditions, yeah. and the team that you saw win is going to be the World Series champion. So, you know, it's not beyond them to throw this out there to kind of sleight of hand, I guess.
No, I agree with you. Again, I think that might be one where Rob Manfred learn from Roger Goodell on that.
That's right.
Because it's, you know, it's amazing how you'll have the Friday news dump and then something else will happen. I think that's a great point, Tyler, because, baseball, I thought I get it when back in the old days when it was just the AL champ and the NL champ and that was a World Series. I think when the two leagues split into divisions and you had an East and a West,
mm-hmm.
and you went from two to four, like, okay, that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really like four. I think this is one expansion where they got it right because it does put more in the regular season to have the two
yep.
wild cards.
Yep.
But talking about going to seven aside,
yeah.
I don't like it.
So the proposed changes in this, and if this happens, it wouldn't go in effect until 2022, move from 5 to 7 teams in the playoff for each league. Team with the best record in each league would receive a bye to avoid the wild card round and go directly to the division series. And also you get to, it would be the teams that are playing in that in the division or the wild card round, or the, I mean,
in the first round.
In the first round,
okay.
Get to pick their opponents. Now I'm not exactly sure how that would work.
Wait, time out. Does the team with the number one seed get to pick their opponent if they win?
I don't think
or
so.
Or is it the two right. division champs and the best wild card? Those three.
Let me see if I can get a little more clarification on that.
Because that's. Well, that puts some pressure. I pick to play you, and then you lose to them. Woo!
Yes. So, okay, this is from the New York Post, and this is just kind of an example of how things would have been done last year. Using last season's American League, the Astros with the best record would have received the bye.
Correct.
The Yankees with the second best record would have had the choice to pick from among the Rays, Indians and Red Sox, because again you're expanding the wild card here. Boston had the worst record out of that group, so it's like, would the Yankees pick them to avoid to play the worst team,
yeah,
or would they not want to play their
rival? Right. And lose to them.
Yeah, you're kind of at a complex there, create a ton of strategy and interest, and that's what the MLB wants to sell with this. So that's the clarification there.
I think the big picture on this, apparently they've got another TV contract coming up.
And then that's another thing, like that selection would be a television show.
Of course it would.
Where you get, I'm guessing the GM, maybe the manager of the team, get up there and say, all right, well, you know, we're picking, you know, if you're the Yankees, well, we're going to pick the Red Sox to play in this round of the playoffs.
Right.
We know there are rivals. We feel like we can outmatch them in this way or whatever.
We think they stink.
Right. You're creating a reality show out of it, basically.
Yeah, it's I'm almost, if they do that, I'm just really ready to kind of get to that point where, I think I've told you the story before, is my good friend Clay Bryant told me, he was from Noonan, and there was this judge from Noonan
uh-huh.
who was a big Auburn fan. Noonan's just like a third Georgia, third Tech, third Auburn.
Yeah, yeah.
And he it started losing it. So his kids
yeah, yeah.
would just start bringing him tapes of old Auburn games that were wins only.
Yeah.
So he would go to the lunch, oh, God, we got this guy, Bo Jackson. You know, it was great.
Yeah.
So if they go to that, I'm just one step closer to just wanting to get to that point.
Get your VCRs of all the old tapes and not have to worry about what's going
on
now.
Hey, I'll tell you, the Cubs have got this guy, Ryan Sandberg. Keep your eye on him.
That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, I just think that would be awful.
Yankees got this rookie named Derek Jeter. He's amazing.
Jeter. Look at him. Yeah, I think that's all awful. Don't expand the playoffs.
It's
please.
It's television please, and money. That's what
please,
always talks.
Please. Please, the old dinosaur here doesn't like it. Do you like any of that?
I don't.
Thank you. the young dinosaur doesn't either.
I mean, I've always, that's what's kind of appealed to me about baseball. And, you know, I go back to, I talk about this a lot, but my gripe with the NBA, you're letting in 16 teams out of a 30-team league. Yeah. That's over half the teams. The Hawks right now are 10 games out of being in the playoffs. And yes, that is technically a lot, but it's not completely unfeasible. And with how bad they've been this year, they shouldn't be remotely close to being in the playoffs. And that number 8 seed outside of, was it the Nuggets that did it one time?
Yes.
So that number 8 seed never goes anywhere.
Now, a lot of teams would tell you they'd probably rather not make the playoffs than be an 8.
Exactly. And it's just, you know, to me that just really waters down the regular season. That's what's appealed to me about baseball is that it's very exclusive.
No, it is.
Win your division or be one of the wild cards. And again, you still have to play that wild card one-off game to get your chance to go on past that.
You're right.
And that's what's kind of always appealed to me about the baseball playoffs. It's exclusive, not inclusive.
I agree.
I know the NFL's trotted some ideas about out there about adding another wild card and wanting like a Monday night playoff game. Geez. And, you know, again,
sometimes it's, less is more.
I agree.
Well, that's one of the college football has always been so great. It flies by and you're so hungry for it.
Yeah.
You just better. I mean, that's one thing. I think Cuts and I've talked about this. I really think golf has messed up. They've, you know, going to this wraparound schedule. Mm-hmm. The way it was, you used to have the PGA, then you'd have the World Series of Golf, and that was it. And football started. That was it until the Tournament of Champions in January.
Yep.
Now it's what we call the creep.
Yep.
The creep of the schedule. The creep.
So I mentioned Monday Night Football there quickly to close out the 5 at 5. The NFL is possibly entertaining the idea of adding flex scheduling to Monday Night Football to allow for the best possible matchup each and every week, particularly once you get in the second half of the season. Can this help Monday Night Football's credibility? I mean, it's really suffered over these past couple years.
You've got a lot of factors going in there, too. Now, I'll ask you this. Do you think that... And I remember when ESPN finally became critical of Roger Goodell, like the next year their schedule was
bad,
horrendous.
Yep.
And then nothing against him. He was fine doing Big East Friday night's games, but Joe Tessitore, then he had Witten.
Big game, Joe.
I mean, you know, this was Howard Cosell and then Al Michaels.
And now you look what we got with Booger McFarland and,
I mean, Booger's fine. I like him. He's fine. But, I mean, this is – Monday Night Football, when it was Cosell, Gifford, and Dandy Don Meredith, then when you had Al Michaels, it's just not the big show
and
that it used to be.
That's the thing, is Sunday Night Football is essentially taken that place now.
Blown by.
Because, and especially now where you can watch so many games in a day, especially you have like Sunday Ticket or whatever, you know, you watch the 1 o'clock game, you watch the 4 o'clock game, 4:25 game, whatever, but you're looking forward to that Sunday night matchup.
Yeah.
And it's had this flexibility to put the best game on Sunday night. And you can look forward to it the entire day. And Monday Night Football's fine, but you're not spending your entire Monday, oh man, the Monday night game tonight's going to be so good, because it's been locked into having these teams scheduled on that game before the season even starts. And you could get into week 15, you could have two 0-14 teams playing each other. You just don't
nobody
know.
Nobody wants to see
nobody
that.
Nobody wants to see that. The Steelers played, I think it was the Bengals earlier on in the season last year on Monday Night Football, like 2 weeks after Roethlisberger went down. It's like nobody wants to see this game. Yeah.
And then I think it's easy. A lot of people, I mean, you're gassed on Monday, too.
Yeah.
The game's later. It's
And again, when Monday Night Football was at its best, you couldn't watch nearly as many games on Sunday.
That's true.
It wasn't as available to you.
Game changer.
So you were a little bit starved for that extra game on Monday night that stood alone by itself that everybody was talking about. Now we've got Thursday Night Football. You can watch all the midday games on Sunday. You got Sunday Night Football. Once you get to Monday, you're a little bit gassed out of football.
Yeah, for
especially
sure.
If you're watching college football all day Saturday.
Oh, God, yeah.
You spend two full days watching football, and then you have this one game on Monday night that's probably a little bit of a stinker. It's like, I'll turn it on, but I'm not going to get excited about it.
That's very well said.
So.
Well, you marry a teacher there, man. Hey, they go to bed early.
My girlfriend's actually a reporter, so.
Well, there you go. You gotta be careful. She might be doing a story on here or something. You just don't know.
I was
about
gonna
it.
Say I don't have
the Truman Show.
I don't have any skeletons in my closet, so I think I'm all right.
Yeah, all mine are out.
At least not that I know of.
It's good.
Well, I was gonna say,
Have any skeletons that you know of.
That I know of.
It's another topic for another day.
That's another topic for another day. Well, like, what's your wife going to do? Tell the 10-year-old kids or something like that?
Look at this guy. Do not grow up like him. You kids stay in school there. All right, let's run into a timeout. We'll hit you with some history stuff coming up here. And tell you young, aspiring broadcasters, you need to learn how to write.
We'll try to. That wraps up the 5 at 5, brought to you as always by the Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution.
Spring is in full bloom. Are your finances? With the Chime Secured Credit Builder Visa credit card, you can build credit with everyday purchases and regular on-time payments, all with no annual fees or interest. With Chime Secure Credit Card, you can start improving your credit scores right away. Get started today at chime.com/build. That's chime.com/build. Chime. Feels like progress.
The Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card is issued by Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. Members FDIC. Out-of-network ATM withdrawal and OTC advance fees may apply. Terms and conditions apply. Go to chime.com/disclosures for details.